Probably birds flew into the engine.
Engines are stable, but we are getting a loud vibration. It sounds like coming from the nose gear.
The pilot put the plane down at Dulles Airport. Firefighters rushed to the scene. They used foam to contain a gas leak. The flight was grounded for more than 4 hours, but eventually made it to Kennedy early this morning. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
And tributes to Chris Cornell pouring in after the rocker's unexpected death last night at 52. The Soundgarden and Audioslave lead singer dying in Detroit right after a concert. Word is they're investigating it as a possible suicide. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the 25 things successful people refuse to do, how to forecast cash flow, why you wish you bought Amazon stock 20 years ago today, and I'll have four habits to building a financially healthy business. It's Thursday, May 18th, 2017. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do, as always, we check the weather. It's currently 87 degrees at 12:05, and the forecast shows today it'll be mostly sunny and hot with a high of 94 and a low of 68. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 86 and a low of 52. Saturday will be cool and partly cloudy with a high of 71 and a low of 47. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 72 and a low of 58.
It's the work that we avoid, and we're all self-employed. We love to work at nothing all day. And we've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. We've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business.
And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 29.79 to 20,636.72. The NASDAQ is up 24.97 to 6,036.21. S&P 500 is also up 5.43 to 2,367.33. Oil is up 24 cents to $49.31 per barrel. And gold is down $4.50 to $1,254.20 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. Now listen to the rest of the program live at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and I am the host of the program called Taking Care of Business. We get together every Thursday around this time to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small. So glad you could join us. Breaking news this morning coming out from California is that Roger Ailes, the bombastic and controversial founder and CEO of Fox News, who was ousted last year in a sexual harassment scandal, has died. Fox News reported this on this morning. Ailes, who reshaped television news over five decades in the TV and entertainment industry, was 77 years old. His death was announced in a statement by his wife, Elizabeth Ailes, according to Fox News. So Roger Ailes dead at the age of 77, and he was, as most know, the founder of Fox News. Embroiled in a number of lawsuits brought by female staffers claiming sexual harassment and cost him a lot of money in the process. Every week at this time, I typically kind of review the week that was. Bad week for me. Saw a bit of a change in a loving family member and knew that it was about that time. And after 15 years, I had to put my dog Bailey down on Monday. And man, I don't know what it is about dogs. I've lost uncles that I could have given two poops about, and yet, but this dog dies, and now you know I'm a mess. I'm a bumbling idiot. But you know, any pet owner out there who's gone through this knows exactly what I'm talking about. And so, just a bad week in my house. And you know, of course, there's a lot of different little stimulators. You'll see a ball in the corner, a favorite toy, or something like that. Her bed, and you know, the tears just keep coming back. So. Bad week for Jim Gano this week after the loss of my pet, Bailey. Miss her terribly. Bad week for Donald Trump. My week pales in comparison, but the U.S. Justice Department, in the face of rising pressure from Capitol Hill, named former FBI Chief Robert Mueller on Wednesday as the special counsel to investigate alleged Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election and a possible collusion between President Trump's campaign and Moscow. Yesterday, the issue spilled over onto Wall Street on Wednesday, where the S&P 500 and the Dow had their biggest one-day decline since September, as investor hopes for tax cuts and other pro-business policies faded amid the political tumult. The Justice Department announcement came after the market closed. There was some projections that, you know, even though there was about a 360-point dip yesterday in the Dow, that would continue into today. So far, it seems as if everything is holding steady. But it's going to be interesting to sit on the sidelines and watch how this one plays out. Several congressional members on Capitol Hill asking for an impeachment. One saying it's time to invoke the 25th Amendment because there are provisions there that says if the president is mentally incapable of running the country, that he be removed. So we'll have to see what happens there. You know, we're trying to get more likes on our Facebook page and to promote 100 and Chamber Radio. So if you would, I'd appreciate it if you would go to your Facebook page, look up Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and like and follow that page. And then if you look up 100 and Chamber Radio, like and follow that page as well. You're going to get updates on shows from all of our hosts during the course of the week. On my page, we give you any updates, things that are newsworthy that affect business, we'll put there midweek as well. And chances are you'll probably be seeing that as a topic later in the week. So if you get a chance, go to your Facebook page and like the page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Follow that page and we'll give you updates as we go along. There is a new segment to this program that I call the Business Quote of the Week. And today I'm actually going to have two. So the first one is the quote that I came here wanting to discuss. The second one comes to me from one of my employees, something that she posted on Facebook today. And I told her I was going to use it on the program. So The first quote is from Anonymous, and it says, "If you make your job important, it is quite likely to return the favor." So let's think about that for just a minute. If you make your job important, it is quite likely to return the favor. How many people out there, and usually if you're listening to this show, and I've talked to several members of our audience, so I kind of know a lot of them are business owners, a lot of them are high-ranking people in corporations, some are politicians. But they get it. They understand what it's like to be in business. They understand what it's like to run a business. But for your mid-level employees and your lower-level employees, do they understand what that sentence means? If you make your job important, it is quite likely to return the favor. So rather than just doing your job, how about doing your job better than anybody else? How about making your role an important function in the business? It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're a truck driver, delivering goods, whether you're assembling, whether you're clerical, it doesn't matter. If you do your job to the best of your ability and you do it better than anybody else, chances are your job is going to return the favor. So now the question is, what about you? Do you make your job important? You know, And what does that mean to you? Is it enough for you to just go to work, do your job, collect a paycheck? Are you willing to do a little extra? Are you willing to take on extra responsibilities if a coworker quits, has to go out on disability? Are you willing to step into their role and do your role without asking for anything in return? Remember, if you make your job important, it is quite likely to do the favor or to return the favor. Now, a lady that I work with, who I've known probably 40 years, Wendy Manning, we went to high school together, and so she had a post on Facebook today, and I liked it the second that I saw it, and I said, man, if everybody had this attitude, business in America would be doing great. And she said, not feeling so great, but you get up, show up, and shut up. That's what moms do. I love that quote. And, you know, we call Wendy our warehouse mom. Everybody goes to Wendy with their problems and stuff like that. But, you know, she's just a hard worker and she's out there. And obviously something's going on today. She's not feeling well. But, you know, she got up, she showed up, and she shut up and she did her work. And that's all we ask as employers. That's really all we really ask of our employees is to show up and to do your job. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you didn't get enough sleep last night. It doesn't matter if, you know, there's other stuff going on. When you're being paid to do a job, we need you to do that job. Otherwise, it's almost better if you don't show up, and we'll find somebody who can get the job done until you're ready to. So, you know, crazy little comment there, and yet in my mind, that's just as important as any other business quote of the week we've ever said here on the program. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about the 25 things that successful people refuse to do. We'll be right back.
Ready to start your child's entrepreneurial adventure? Join us for this exclusive entrepreneurial learning event featuring the award-winning game Launch. Limited to just 40 kids in the 4th through 8th grade. Friday, May 12th from 6 to 9 at the Deer Path YMCA, Woods Church Road in Flemington. Register online at huntertonchamber.org.
3, 2, 1.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Come join us for the 4th annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park in Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Hunterdon County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank. The 4th annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Chosen Freeholders of Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike's and Subs. For all the great details and information, visit HuntertonChamber.org or give us a call at 908-782-7115. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB. Also, if you're out in some of the newer vehicles that have the digital broadcast channel in their radios, by all means, look us up at WHCRDB. So glad you could join us
for another edition of Taking Care of Business. So before the break, I talked about 25 things successful people refuse to do. I want to get into that, but we do have a update. Currently in Times Square, there are a number of emergency vehicles that are swarming the crossroads of the world, Times Square. No immediate word on possible injuries, but it appears from some posts on social media there are several people injured. It looks like several pedestrians have been run over and hit by a vehicle. No word that this is a terrorist act, just saying that there are several people injured in the Times Square area. So if you're looking for more information on that, you may want to turn to local news at this time to get more updates on that. So if you want to be successful at life, you're going to have to do things that everyone else around you avoids. And whenever I consult with businesses, talk to businesses, I tell them a couple of things. First of which that they seem to think is easy to remember is be different to be remembered. And one of the things that I talk about is you have to be willing to do what your competition will not do. I have had several customers over the last month or two who have come into the store telling me that they went to a different trophy store and that owner said he would not make a plaque within 24 hours or he would not do a job in 3 days. He needed at least a week to 10 days to complete anything. Then they come to me and I'm saying, sure, we'll get it done. No problem. Yes, we would love to have a little more lead time, but it doesn't matter. That's not your concern. You just need the awards when you need them. So why then are you doing business the same way you've always done it? Why are you not looking for ways to be better than your competition? So it's not always what you're willing to do that will make you successful. It's also what you're willing to do without until you get there. You know, so you're going to have to refuse to do some things. And here are a few things that successful people refuse to do. Successful people refuse to make excuses for their own mistakes. They learn and grow and improve obsessively. We have a poster in our office, and it says very simply, no excuses, no exceptions. If the job didn't get done, I want to know why. I don't want excuses. I just want to know why they didn't complete the task. If it was done wrong, I need to know why. What made them make that mistake so that we can avoid it in the future? Successful people refuse to whine when things don't go their way. Instead, they figure out a way to win in spite of setbacks. It's called adversity. How many times have you been knocked down? How many times do you get back up? That's the important thing. It doesn't matter what happens. We could all sit there and whine and say, oh, it's not fair. Business isn't fair. Or we can look for solutions. You know, that's what I'd rather be doing. Successful people refuse to copy what other people have done to be successful. They ignore the crowd and they do their own thing. Love that. You know, it's easy to, you know, just follow like a lemming and do what everybody else has done. And that's why you see so many people attending seminars by Anthony Robbins and Jim Rohn and everybody else. And the funny thing is that the only people that get rich at those seminars are Anthony Robbins and Jim Rohn. Plain and simple. They've figured out what works for them. Everybody else is just a lemming in the room. They'll go through all the exercises. They'll stay there for a weekend. They'll spend thousands of dollars. And then Monday morning when they get back in the office, they're going to do the exact same thing they've always done. Find your own way. Successful people refuse to stay down when they get knocked down or fail. They pull themselves together and then they come back stronger. There's an old quote in business and in life. It doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. It matters how many times you get back up. Successful people refuse to avoid doing the hard work that their success demands. They sweat, they fight, and they bleed to their cause. Successful people refuse to adopt the thinking of the status quo. They do their own research and always think for themselves. I love that because, you know, so many times the status quo changes, you know, especially in today's economy where technology changes almost weekly or monthly. You've got to be able to adapt with it. How many people 10 years ago thought they'd be on Facebook with a business page? How many people thought they'd have a Twitter account or that they'd be posting pictures on Instagram? Probably zero. Now everybody is doing it. Successful people refuse to ignore their own weaknesses and bad habits, but they take steps to fix and improve them. Successful people refuse to pretend that they are perfect or better than anyone else. They are focused maniacally on improving themselves. I have said this in my business, and my employees look at me like I'm an idiot. You know, we do a job, and we do it well, and I know it's the best that it can be, but I'm still looking like, how could we have done that better? How could we have done it quicker? How could we have done it less expensively? How could we have, you know, improved the final product? I'm always looking at the process and how we can do things better. Successful people refuse to look down on others around them who aren't winners yet. Instead, they try to encourage them to achieve more. Successful people refuse to overlook the details that drive better results. They are deliberate about being better, even when that comes with a pretty stiff pain point. Successful people refuse to be discouraged that people around them aren't there to cheer for them. They find their inner motivation and drive. I've had a conversation with a young man, a great basketball player, you know, in high school. So he was used to, and growing up always in the recreation leagues, he was always used to people patting him on the back and telling him how great he was. And, boy, you're great. You're wonderful. You're going to be in the pros. You're going to go to college. Well, then he got hurt. And all of a sudden, the applause died. And, you know, he couldn't play in his senior year. And so there wasn't anybody around cheering for him anymore. And people weren't patting him on the back anymore. Now I'm working with him to help him find that inner motivation, that inner drive, that inner cheerleading section that will take advantage of the small wins, you know, whether it's completing a college degree, finding a good job, being in a relationship, and being the best person he can be without all the hoopla of, you know, the fans and the adulation that comes with putting a ball in a basket. Successful people refuse to spend time correcting everyone else's perceptions about them. They just focus on being awesome. I love that. And there's a lady out on Facebook that I follow, Monica Guzman, and very often I haven't seen one negative post from her yet. And she's a business coach, a life coach, and I'll tell you, nothing better than getting a message from her like, you know, have an awesome day today. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. People haven't even had their first cup of coffee, and she's already out there doing it and wishing people, you know, an awesome day. Successful people refuse to let money make them arrogant and take stupid risks. They are financially disciplined and humble. Successful people refuse to complain about things that are outside of their control. Instead, they focus on actions and deliberately ignore the rest. Successful people refuse to waste their time doing things that don't matter. They maniacally prioritize how they expend their energy. Successful people refuse to try to be good at everything at the same time. Instead, they focus on doing one thing right at a time. Successful people refuse to give up when things get tough. They endure the tough times, they innovate past obstacles, and they keep on trying. Successful people refuse to listen to the doubters, the critics, and the skeptics. They stay focused and mentally disciplined. Successful people refuse to let anything stop them from following up and following through on what they promise. They deliver. Successful people refuse to think about defeat or success as final. They continue to set bigger goals no matter their previous outcome. Successful people refuse to blame other people for their own mistakes. They take responsibility for their own actions. I love that one. No excuses, no exceptions. You look around. If it's a complete disaster, if you're willing to say to yourself, I admit it's all my fault, you've made the first step. If it's a wild success, celebrate it. Take the credit. Welcome, you know, the credit for your team as well. But don't look to blame others. You know, when you make a mistake, own it, learn from it, and then move on. Successful people refuse to let current chaos distract them from future success. They get things done each day, regardless of what is happening. Successful people refuse to put their ego ahead of achieving epic results. They work on staying humble and teachable. Successful people refuse to lose sight of why they are doing what they are doing. They stay inspired and motivated. Successful people refuse to think of themselves as anything other than successful. Even if they don't have big results yet, they reject negativity. If it seems like successful people live by a different set of rules, it's because they do. They refuse to do things that you make excuses to keep doing. They take a moment and think about your goals. Now, we talked about this the first show of the year. What were your goals for 2017 for you and for your business? And where are you at now? 4.5 months later, almost 5 months later, are you on track? Or do you have to kind of hit the reset button and say, all right, for the next 7 months, this is what I'm going to do to achieve that level of success that I wanted. Now, once you've hit that reset button, go out there and refuse to do anything but achieve that success. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Let's talk about my old friend cash flow for a minute. So we've talked a number of times. I've had a couple of stories on the air about cash flow and how important it is to business. And one aspect that we haven't really talked about is cash flow forecasting, which is basically creating a plan for the best, but preparing for the worst. Now, if you're not convinced that cash is king, consider this common scenario. A small business already working through a steady flow of business decides to take on a larger project. To make it work, they need to hire a couple of contractors to help with the additional workload. Unfortunately, paying those individuals could be a challenge, considering the company won't start to collect any of its fees for at least 60 days. Now, unless there's enough cash on hand, taking on the new business may be more of a problem than a reason to celebrate. I've seen businesses grow themselves into bankruptcy. They weren't able to make payroll because their clients didn't pay in the anticipated fashion, said Ken Walsenben, who's an assistant professor of entrepreneurial practice at the Whitman School of Management up at Syracuse University. Growth puts a strain on cash flow. The more accounts receivables you have out there, the more demands you have on inventory and paying your people. You may not get cash for 30 to 60 days or longer, and growth exacerbates that problem. Planning is key, but not everybody does it. There's a lot of discussion about cash flow, but 70 to 80% of businesses either don't do it or they do it minimally, says George Cloutier, who's the founder of the American Management Services in Orlando, Florida. But no cash flow means no business, and poor cash flow means no business eventually. It's kind of like the Titanic. If you don't see the icebergs, you're done. So how do you put a plan in place? When managing cash flow, small business owners need to plan for the best but prepare for the worst. Having a budget helps you map out a minimum of 6 months and a best case a year of your expected cash flow, what you expect to come in and what you expect to come out, in addition to the minimum you should have on hand, said Denise O'Berry, who's a small business expert and author of the book Small Business Cash Flow: Strategies for Making Your Business a Financial Success. Unfortunately, many small business owners equate cash flow with doing math. And it's not about the math. It's about the story of your business, the successes, the failures, what's going on well, and the things you probably need to dump, O'Berry added. Appropriate cash flow planning makes it possible to adjust to the peaks and valleys along the way. Here are some tips to help you get started. First, understand how your business generates cash. Retail businesses get cash or credit card payments daily, so their cash conversion cycle is obviously shorter than a business-to-business service where payment may not occur for weeks or months, or in the latter situation, you may need to work out a payment plan with your supplier. All businesses have a degree of seasonality and a lack of predictability, said Ted Zoller, who's an associate professor of strategy and entrepreneurship at the UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. Understand what's specific to your industry so you can achieve your goal of a predictable revenue forecast. You need to know the difference between profit and cash flow. If you sell $1,000 worth of widgets, for instance, and this payment terms are net 30, you have $1,000 worth of sales and a profit. But although your financials indicate that you are comfortably profitable, you may not be able to pay your bills. That's because you haven't been paid. You need to monitor the core metrics of your operations. Know what drives revenue, your receipts, and what drives costs, your expenditures, in an effort to keep your cash flow strong. This will help you achieve a predictable and sustainable margin in your business. Be realistic about your forecast. Many small business owners are overly optimistic about the amount of cash they'll be taking in. And there are ways to solve cash flow shortfalls, but you first have to face the reality. It might help to work with someone who is totally objective about your business. And do it yourself. As the business owner, it's your job to manage your cash flow and profit and loss statement. This is not a job or a function that you should delegate. The insight you get to build the business comes out of that data, Zoller said. So with that in mind, however, don't spend your time setting up the accounting system or managing the taxes. That's the responsibility of a good bookkeeper. Do it on a regular basis. Most experts recommend monitoring your cash flow on a weekly basis and then creating a profit and loss statement every month. Determine what bills you need to pay and how much cash you expect to take in. If the cash is not coming in, you will need to delay the payment of liabilities. The weekly process requires constantly changing and tweaking the data. As a small business owner, you understand the importance of planning. Apply that philosophy to cash flow forecasting so your businesses can grow without taking on the additional strain of cash flow shortfalls. So, again, cash flow management, cash flow forecasting, very important. And after you have a year of historical data, you can almost forecast, guess, predict when in the next year when cash will be readily available and other times when it won't. So, A great tactic there. We're going to step away for our mid-show news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about business owners' insurance policies. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The Department of Justice made this case. There are a lot of people that wanted to see it, particularly on the Democratic side of the aisle, and now it's in place, and I think he'll do a good job.
Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz talking about the appointment of former FBI Director Robert Mueller as a special investigator. Chaffetz says Mueller being a former FBI head will help the investigation.
What I like about the selection of Director Mueller is he used to run that organization, so he will get a running start. He won't lose the benefit of the work that has been done over the last several months. He'll be able to take up that baton right. And continue on.
Not everyone happy with a special prosecutor, though. On Twitter this morning, the president called the investigation, quote, the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history. And fewer people asking for unemployment help. The Labor Department saying the jobless claims tumbled by 4,000 to 232,000 last week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Bikes, scooters, skates, and skateboards remain some of the most popular activities for kids today. But with nearly 50 children going to emergency rooms every hour, there's reason for concern. A new report by Safe Kids Worldwide and Nationwide's Make Safe Happen program finds that nearly 40% of parents say their child doesn't wear a helmet while riding. Safe Kids Worldwide medical advisor Dr. Marseille White.
Properly fitted helmets and other protective equipment are the single best way to protect kids while riding on bikes and other wheeled sports. No matter where your children ride, it's important to make sure they protect their heads, knees, wrists, and elbows for when they fall so they can continue to ride happy and safe.
Safe Kids encourages families to practice safe riding together, wear properly fitted helmets, ride in safe locations, and follow the rules of the road. For more tips, visit safekids.org. I'm Alex Verde reporting.
The man who made Fox News a powerhouse in cable television has died. Here's correspondent Mark Mayfield.
His wife said in a statement that the 77-year-old died this morning. Elizabeth Ailes referred to her husband as a patriot and a loyal friend to many. Ailes was founder and longtime chairman and CEO of Fox News and the Fox Television Stations Group. He resigned under pressure last year after a number of women who worked at Fox accused him of sexually harassing them. Ailes served as a media consultant for Republican Presidents Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush. He also served as an advisor to President Trump's campaign last year.
Americans owe
taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Glad you could join me once again. Currently 93 degrees here in Flemington, so temperature spiking up rapidly. And stay cool. You know, it's only we got another day or two of this, and then it's going to be a nice cool weekend. So this will be a distant memory in just a few days. An update on that incident happening in Times Square. The NYPD has ruled out a terrorist act. One person has been killed, others injured, when a car ran into a group of pedestrians. So let's talk a little bit about business insurance. What is a business owner's policy? Now, when the unexpected happens, it's important to protect your business with insurance covered tailored to your specific industry. And of course, here in Flemington, there's no greater example of this than the recent Turpok Cleaners fire. Even small businesses can run into major problems from time to time. And when the unexpected happens, it's important to protect your investment with insurance that covers the needs and challenges of your business. That's why many small business owners purchase a business owner's policy, a type of insurance that can provide a package policy, which includes property and liability coverages tailored for a small business. Well, since every business is different, this coverage can easily be tailored to your specific needs. The advantage of a business owner's policy is that it can combine protection for the different property and liability risks of your industry into one convenient package. For instance, a landlord needs to protect different assets than a computer repair business does. A wide range of businesses and contractors can benefit from such a policy, from medical offices to retail shops and beyond. Even home services contractors, such as locksmiths and plumbers, can benefit from a business owner's policy. A business owner's policy can help you protect your property, liability, accounts receivable, computer property, equipment breakdown, loss of income, seasonal coverage needs, and signs. Additionally, business owners' policies can also include industry-specific coverage such as data compromise and identity restoration, backups of sewers and drains, employer dishonesty or employee dishonesty, and loss of income due to utility interruption. So if you're not sure if your business could benefit from a business owner's policy, contact your local insurance agent to learn more about the coverages that are available for your particular industry and find out how a business owner's policy can help protect the business that you've worked so hard to build. So hopefully you've already done that. if you're in business, but it's still not a bad idea. And we do this with our insurance agent, Doug Bateman, at least once a year, sometimes twice, where he'll come in, just basically take a tour of the place, see what's changed. If we were to buy any new equipment, we call him up and we tell him what that equipment is. He'll look into, does that affect our liability in any way? Usually it doesn't. But now we've added more property to the business. So, you know, something to consider as your business grows over the years. So on May 15th of 1997, something happened in the business world that if you were smart and you invested, you are probably a very, very happy person today. That's when Amazon, at that point, an online bookstore, went public. Think about it. Back then, Amazon only sold books. Now they sell everything. The company's stock has seen a stunning 36% compounded annual gain since then. Amazon closed at $961.35 on Friday, giving the company a market value of about $466.2 billion with a B dollars. That's 490 times its split-adjusted stock price close of $1.96 on day one. That's right, day one of Amazon stock, you could have purchased it for $1.96. Amazon has earned fortunes for its most disciplined shareholders and its founder, Jeff Bezos, who in March became the world's second richest person, overtaking Berkshire Hathaway CEO Warren Buffett and retail tycoon Amancio Ortega. As the Wall Street Journal reported, when Amazon first filed for its initial public offering, the company was just 3 years old and had no clear path to profitability. It faced a growing list of competitors that included Simon & Schuster and Barnes & Noble, each of which was already selling books online. Amazon has now turned a profit for 8 straight quarters, thanks in large part to the strength of its cloud computing business, Amazon Web Services. Its more popular retail segment is not as profitable, but is often cited as the existential threat not only to other bookstores, but to any company in the brick-and-mortar retail business. Walmart, America's largest brick-and-mortar retailer, is worth $228.25 billion, almost less than half of what Amazon is worth. So if you want to do some simple math, and this may be a reason for you either to jump up and down and cheer, call your stockbroker and buy a mistake, or to cry, if you bought one share at $1.96 20 years ago, it would now be worth 988 cents. But let's just say, because at the time, you had an extra $2,000 in your wallet, you went out and bought 1,000 shares, that would equal $961,880. I certainly hope that you bought yours. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. And just taking a look at what we're going to cover next. All right, so let's talk about I got a call from someone, and, you know, similar to our story earlier, they said, we're making a lot of sales, but I'm not sure that we're financially healthy. And they talked about sometimes employees would make mistakes, and that costs money. Sometimes goods would come in damaged, and that would cost money because you had to ship new material in, you had to return the old material, there was time involved. So how can you guarantee that you will create the habits to building a financially healthy business? Now, smart money management is essential to the financial success of any small business. Good money management is all about developing good habits. So are you spending less than you earn? Are you setting money aside for emergencies? Do you check your bank account on a regular basis? Managing your business finances isn't all that different from managing your personal budget. Good habits are vital to your company too. Here are a few that will help you build a stable, financially healthy small business. So first, you want to separate business and personal expenses. And it's important to treat business as an independent financial entity. Commingling personal and business activities can void the liability protection offered through your entity structure and put your personal assets at risk, said Thomas Walsh, who's a certified financial planner with the Palisades Hudson Financial Group's Atlanta office. If you haven't already, open a separate bank account solely for your business and then be disciplined about keeping your records and company funds separate. Number two, you want to keep good records. Organized and accurate financial records might seem like a lot of work, but they make your life easier in the long run. Proper accounting can be tedious work, but it provides insight into the health and viability of your business. You can't know where you are going if you don't know where you have been, Walsh said. In addition, good records make it easier to borrow funds and raise capital when you need it. Clear record keeping helps banks and investors understand how well your business is performing. Number three, you want to track your cash flow carefully. profit and loss is the most popular financial statement, and owners and the press talk about sales and earnings. But for a small business owner, cash flow is the most crucial metric, said Hal Shelton, who's a SCORE mentor and author of Secrets to Writing a Successful Business Plan. It addresses key questions like, can I meet payroll? Can I pay outstanding invoices? Can I pay myself? Shelton recommends business owners have a cash flow forecast covering the next 2 to 4 months. This also means keeping an eye on accounts receivable and following up with customers who are more than 60 days overdue on payment. And finally, fourth, get insurance. Now, according to Walsh, business owners should acquire insurance under the entity's name to protect against unforeseen incidents. Consider obtaining general liability, property, and professional liability insurance, as well as workers' compensation for those with employees, he said. In addition to business insurance, owners should also acquire umbrella insurance policies for liability protection as a safety net. That way, if the worst should happen, it won't sink your business financially. So, a couple of good points there on how to get a financially healthy business. And as we go through these topics and you hear these bullet points, it's a good idea if you keep a scorecard. Are you doing this? Are you separating business from personal? Are you keeping good records? Are you tracking your cash flow? Do you have adequate insurance? There are times when my insurance agent will come in and we'll talk, and he'll mention a coverage. And I previously worked in the insurance industry for 10 years, so I thought I knew a lot about it. And there's times when he'll mention something and I'll have to be like, well, what's that? And he'll explain how it is or what it is and what the coverage would provide. And I'm like, yep, sign me up. Going to need that one too. So always a good idea to, especially in the insurance side, you don't want to be caught short. And if you're an older business and you've been using the same old insurance agent for a year, not a bad idea to have another agent come in, do an assessment, and make sure that you're adequately covered. Social media is a topic that I talk about a lot here on the program. And sometimes it's okay to brag. You know, they call Facebook the A side. And if you think back to old record albums, the A side was usually the best song on a 45, and the B side would be the lesser song. You still, for $1.49, you got two songs, but the A side was the one you wanted to play. Hotel California by the Eagles versus some obscure song you'd never heard of before and probably never played again. So on social media, it's not a bad idea to showcase your community service on social media. Show customers that your small business cares about more than just the bottom line by posting any volunteer activities on your Facebook or Instagram accounts or any other social media accounts that you use. Social media marketing is one of the most cost-effective ways to connect with your customers. It builds an image of your small business online. Potential customers can look at your Facebook page or Instagram profile and get a feel for your company's values. And if your small business values include giving back through community service, then you should absolutely post it on your social media challenge. In addition to feeling good about doing good, it's also about letting people know what you're doing, said Sean Walker, who's a co-founder of Hero Farm, a marketing and PR agency with a focus on social responsibility. It's like any other marketing campaign. It shows customers that your company cares about people and values more than just money. Not sure where to share? Well, Walker recommends getting some candid shots of yourself and your employees volunteering for a cause you care about. For example, a lot of our moms have experienced breast cancer, and that's one of the reasons we support the American Cancer Society, Walker said. In the past, Hero Farm employees have joined a group of volunteers to bring food to cancer patients in a local hospital. Afterwards, you can post the photos to Instagram and Facebook with a caption or create a video slideshow with information about the organization that you've chosen to support. This shows people that your business puts its values into practice and sets you apart from your competition. And where did I hear that before? Oh, yeah, the first story we talked about today. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the, well, what the heck are we going to talk about? How to conquer employee conflict in the workplace. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy of Flemington, with you for the next 15 minutes, and let's jump right back into it as we talk about how to conquer employee conflict. Now, with all the work that goes into running your small business every day, sorting out conflicts among your employees is not where you want to be spending any of your time. But if not confronted, then dissension on your staff could spiral out of control, taking morale and even profits down with it. So, if you think that's an overstatement, think again, said Drew Stevens, who's the president of Stevens Consulting Group, a coaching and consulting company. Stevens, who's the author of The Ultimate Business Bible, insists that when employees don't get along with each other in the workplace, even if it's limited to a few individuals, all sorts of headaches can arise. Productivity is often negatively impacted, either because employees can't work together harmoniously or, in the worst case scenario, won't work together because of outright spite or sabotage. The hostilities may even spill over to customers, damaging important business relationships, and if left unchecked, conflict between staff members can cause other employees to flee to more hospitable workplaces, driving down retention and increasing hiring and training costs. Now, according to Stevens, all of this can happen if employee conflicts are left unaddressed, and yet it's still common for small business owners to ignore problems, hoping that they will simply go away. This is one of the biggest mistakes that you can make, chronically avoiding it, he said. This could be because they aren't trained on how to manage conflict, so they're uncomfortable dealing with it. Or they don't have the time, or they may not even be aware of it, if not is not uncommon for the boss to be the last to know. Conflicts can be kept in check by keeping your ears and eyes open, staying in touch with your staff, and practicing what we call walk-around leadership. Managers should be empowered and feel comfortable bringing conflicts to your attention and having candid conversations around the issues. And all employees need to be encouraged to make your or their managers aware when problems are percolating before things even get out of hand. As for addressing and resolving the conflict, Stephen suggests to first normalize conflict. Now, this may seem counterintuitive, but every group has conflict. So by positioning conflict as expected, you lessen the emotional reaction to it. So try asking your employees to recall real-life examples where conflict has led to a better understanding and progress. You may want to consider conflict resolution training. Now, there are specific tools that can help achieve better outcomes, such as listening without interrupting, avoiding blame, role-playing, and repeating back what the other person said, or mirroring their text. Educating and empowering employees to manage conflict improves the chances that it won't mushroom into a huge morale killer, and also allows you to get on with the business of running your company. You also want to talk about it. So hold regular meetings where the dialogue is open and the issues are laid out on the table. These discussions have to be constructive, so no gripe sessions. The Eagles, the musical group The Eagles, used to do this. It was called the Circle of Fear, and before every show, they would get together Glenn Frey, Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt, and Don Henley. And they would get together in a circle, and they would basically sing every song they were going to perform that night, making sure the harmonies were right. And then if somebody was off, maybe Joe Walsh wasn't feeling it, maybe Timothy B. Schmidt couldn't hit a high note, they'd stop, ask them what's going on, and then come back to it, so that when they put the show on for the audience, it was the best that it possibly could be. Hold those circle of fear meetings and let people know. You can say whatever you want, but it has to be constructive. And then be willing to step in. Now, if two employees are openly arguing, you or a manager need to separate them. Have a private dialogue with each in order to understand the problem and to formulate a resolution strategy. What happens if, despite all efforts, battling employees just can't get along? If the problems are becoming severe or disruptive, Stephen suggests pulling in a mediator. There's also the possibility that the conflict could be a result of extreme personality differences, which can be harder to resolve. In this case, if you can't move them to where they don't have to have contact with each other, you may have to let one or possibly even both of them go. But don't wait too long. Don't let this become a problem for your organization. It goes back to that old saying that none of us is as important as all of us, and not one person in the company is more important than the company. Regardless of what they think, regardless of their ego, nobody is irreplaceable. So make sure that they are aware of that as well. And never let it affect the business of doing business. It's currently 12:53. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. Well, we've talked a lot about money today. So we're going to save a story for next week about accounts receivable and some of the troubles associated with accounts receivable. But right now, let's talk about five ways that you can leverage thought leadership and build your brand awareness. Now, thought leadership and establishing yourself as a person to know in your industry can help you win potential customers and boost your business's standing. To win their audience over, a business owner has to prove that they know what they are talking about, or even better, have the vision and forethought to provide something new on a particular topic. The audience that gets access to that new information may feel like they have something that no competitor has ever offered them, which can make that business owner more valuable in their eyes and worthy of their business. That's what thought leadership can do as a brand building strategy for everyone from freelancers to founders to established small business owners. The inherent value of the insight a business owner shares can translate into brand equity, where an audience applies that value to the product or service that the business owner represents. Blogging can be an excellent way to do this, to demonstrate thought leadership. White papers and ebooks are another way that you can do that. Now, previously used strictly for software companies and more technical industries, the white paper is becoming an integral way to illustrate thought leadership in a particular area or business segment. Using a combination of content, research, and statistics, you can demonstrate to your audience that you have done your homework, that you can also create surveys and use data to generate new insights into issues that are impacting them in some way. Seeing and interacting with customers can help you get closer to your audience and then bolster that trust factor. Syndicated article distribution. By publishing articles on multiple platforms, you can leverage these syndicated article sites to spread your thought leadership across a much larger audience than the reach of your current blog. Consider taking the time to develop valuable content that is likely to resonate with your audience and follow the guidelines of each site. There are sites where you may have to pay to publish, but it's a great idea to start out with the freebies and see how far you get. So hopefully you can get thousands of views this way and use that tactic and help to build your position as a thought leader. There's also video marketing. Now, a new area that a lot of people are looking into exploring is video apps and platforms that are growing in popularity, including Periscope and Facebook Live. I start the show every day off Facebook Live for about 2 minutes, letting people know what we're going to be talking about. These help me share more of my personality than what I can get across in just the regular program. Seeing and interacting with customers can help you get closer to your audience and bolster that trust factor. By using video marketing, you'll be able to get a better understanding of your audience and address their questions and comments in real time. It's also a good idea to participate in panel discussions. Sometimes when you go to a conference, they're looking for speakers on a particular topic. Establish yourself as a thought leader and volunteer to be on a panel, and hopefully once people see that you're considered an expert, they'll gravitate toward you. And finally, case studies. Now, in the age of storytelling as a key marketing tactic, case studies have become an excellent thought leadership tool. So if you can find a particular scenario and walk people through it from beginning to end, it kind of helps you testify to your brand's ability to lead your customer past certain business challenges. Potential customer may read the case study and relate to the scenario outlined, which can then help further the engagement process. So case studies can either be content or video-based. Either way, they can be created fairly easily and affordably and then shared across multiple channels, including social media, your website, your blog, newsletters, and more. So again, thought leadership, standing out from the rest of the crowd, not just, again, being that lemming, but getting out there and standing out from the rest of the crowd, showing people that you're different will get you remembered. And like I said in the beginning of the program, you know, whether you're marketing, how you're promoting your business, etc., you want to be different to be remembered. In sports, the NBA playoffs continue, and in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a 1-0 lead over the Celtics. In the Western Conference Finals, the Golden State leads the San Antonio Spurs 2-0 in that series. In the NHL playoffs, in the Eastern Division Finals, the Ottawa Senators have a 2-1 lead over the Penguins, while in the Western Conference Finals, the Nashville Predators lead the Anaheim Ducks 2-1. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Cardinals, and Rockies lead their division. Martin Truex Jr. won last week's NASCAR race at Kansas Motor Speedway under the lights for the Go Bowling 400. A scary crash with 69 laps to go saw Eric Almirola run into the wrecked cars of Danica Patrick and Joey Logano. Although those drivers walked away uninjured, Almirola had to be extricated from his race car with a back injury in which it was later learned he had a compression fracture of the T5 vertebrae. Richard Petty Motorsports has announced that Regan Smith will be the temporary fill-in driver until Almirola can return, at least through this weekend. Speaking of this weekend, the teams will be back at Charlotte Motor Speedway for 10 days of motorsports activity, starting Saturday night with the All-Star Race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, culminating Memorial Day with the Coca-Cola 600. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive day, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Crutcher, his sister Tiffany telling reporters,
"Betty Shelby murdered my brother, and after she murdered my brother, all of the officers involved with the Tulsa Police Department tried to cover for her."
Some protests broke out in the streets of Tulsa after the verdict came in. Rock star Chris Cornell is dead. The lead singer of Soundgarden and Audioslave died suddenly last night in Detroit. The 52-year-old Grammy Award-winning Cornell was one of the pioneers of the 1990s grunge movement. There's no word on the possible cause of his death. Nationally known Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark has announced he's taking a job with the Department of Homeland Security. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold.
Her 2010 memoir, Spoken from the Heart, that Midland was a place of ice cream sundaes and Saturday morning pony rides.
And the Army intelligence analyst who leaked more than a half million pages of secrets is now free after 7 years in a military prison. Chelsea Manning left the Army's disciplinary barracks at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas yesterday. Former President Barack Obama had commuted Manning's 35-year sentence in the final days of his administration. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The Department of Justice made this case. There are a lot of people that wanted to see it, particularly on the Democratic side of the aisle, and now it's in place, and I think he'll do a good job.
Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz talking about the appointment of former FBI Director Robert Mueller as a special investigator. Chaffetz says Mueller being a former FBI head will help the investigation.
What I like about the selection of Director Mueller is he used to run that organization, so he will get a running start. He won't lose the benefit of the work that has been done over the last several months. He'll be able to take up that baton right. And continue on.
Not everyone happy with a special prosecutor, though. On Twitter this morning, the president called the investigation, quote, the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history. And fewer people asking for unemployment help, the Labor Department saying the jobless claim.